Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't no stopping us now. vocabulary to others. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And then there are some others who tell Negroes in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Well, here we are once again. Friday night. It's the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. I'm your host, Reverend Ron, Reverend Robinson, Dr. Robinson, Mr. Electric, Mr. Fire. I don't know. We got so many names. I'm trying to figure out which one pay the most money. But let me say this to you, everyone. A lot of stuff going on in the news. A lot of stuff going on. One major big news report, emergency, they stopped all the news to talk about this. Three lawmakers in Nashville, Tennessee, was exposed, had been exposed, faced expulsion. And basically because in Nashville, six people got killed, three adults, three children, all 9 years old. God bless them. God bless all of them that had passed during that bad experience. And the community in Nashville was marching to Tennessee's capital to ask the lawmakers to do stronger law restrictions on guns, especially assault weapons. Weapons that's used for mass destruction in war, AR-15s, handguns, 9mm Glock. They can shoot, you know, 10 or 15 bullets in minutes and seconds. They actually do the AK-15. It actually can blow your head off. It when the people get through getting hit with that gun. They find a hole in their body. The bullet went through the front of their body to the back. They find a hole in their body. Kids that got shot with this gun, their whole head is gone. There's no head. I just want you to understand how serious these weapons of mass destruction are. And three lawmakers were asking if they could have the Nashville, Tennessee Capitol lawmakers looked into putting more serious law procedures in terms of requiring a gun, requirements to get a gun, background checks, extensive time for wait, and also people in certain mental conditions, people who have certain criminal backgrounds, not be able to purchase a gun. Also, they wanted to eliminate all assault weapons, weapons that are used for mass destruction in war equipment. Like the AK-15 is a war gun. It's a gun they use in war since Vietnam, and it will blow your head off. So you can imagine what it does to a child. When this gun is finished, like I said before, they found holes inside of people's bodies. And so these three lawmakers, Gloria Johnson, Justin Pearson, Justin Jones, was requesting at their procedure, they were requesting to talk to the House Speaker in reference to this reform, in reference to these laws. And they were cut off. Their mics were cut off at the procedure, and they was told not to, to sit down and say anything. So they got a bullhorn and went to what they call the well in Tennessee, which is the floor of the House, and they requested that they get listened to because there were thousands of children and people outside of the Capitol in Tennessee, in Nashville, marching and requesting assistance in these mass destructive war guns to be removed from sale, and that something be done about gun control, something be done about the massive killings that's going on in America every day. Place in America, you hear about these massive destruction and these killings. Well, this particular Republican control, 75-80% is Republican. I think 20% is Democrat in Nashville, Tennessee. Also, you have a large number of racists in this Nashville, Tennessee capital lawmakers. They decided they didn't want to hear about it. They didn't want to give the justices, Pierce, Jones, and Johnson an opportunity to explain themselves, to debate more stringent laws pertaining to the usage of guns and high quality weapons, mass destruction, weapons of war, high powered weapons. What do the average citizen need a war weapon for? What is the purpose of that? So nevertheless, they were saying that, and they were having a recess at the time that the three justices got on the floor, what they call the well, and made the announcement with a bullhorn because they couldn't get heard in standard procedure. They were going through the quorum. They were going through the standard procedure. They were not getting heard. So they went and got the bullhorns, and they got on the floor of the Tennessee Nashville, Tennessee Capitol there, and they as legislators and lawmakers, they decided to they were going to make themselves heard with a bullhorn. Well, the action of the Nashville Capitol lawmakers, the one that's the head of it, he decided to expulsion. He decided to expel them, give them expulsion, and to get rid of them and relieve them of their capacity as lawmakers, in which that's what he did. Well, they got a vote on that. They submitted that resolution quickly. There was no hearing. There was no procedure. They just quickly made up the hearing to expulsion for these three lawmakers. With no pre-trial, no nothing, and they decided that the white woman, Ms. Gloria Johnson, she got saved by one vote. She didn't get expulsion. The two young brothers, African American young brothers, lawmakers, They were 27. They're like 27 years old, very young. They got expulsion from their seats. And this bad decision, this very evil procedure, this very racist, systemic racism that's in Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee is a seriously racist place since God I remember. But these serious conditions that these people did, it really turned into good. Because Brother Justin Jones and Brother Justin Pearson became overnight sensations. Every news desk, every news reporter, every talk show host, all across the country, even across the world, heard about these two young brothers, and they're eloquent in their speech, and they're direct, and they're factual, and they're powerful, and they will not back down. These young people ain't playing. They will not back down. Well, nevertheless, as we go forward, a tape was going on, and the explosion, the white lawmakers were talking and arguing with each other about why did they do this, why did they make this up, why did they make that excuse, why you didn't do this. They were arguing with each other, but this tape got leaked of them exposing themselves for who they are. And I'm sure a lot of them might be KKK members. But welcome to America 2023. African American people, if you don't understand what's going on, the war is race, the war is money, the war is power, the war is land, air, buildings. They want to take back America. And it's just not Nashville. It's not Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri. You can count all the southern states if you want to, but it's New York. It's Connecticut. It's New Jersey. It's California. It's Vermont. It's New Hampshire. It's Boston. It's all over this country. 50 states of racism, because we have to understand how you got here, what is your history, and how that goes. If you do not understand that, you're lost. I'm not going to be in this country 30 years, 20 years, 70 years, and not realize what I'm dealing with. You're dealing with a very awkward situation. You're dealing with a very dismantled organization. The melting pot is done melt. They call this the great tation of different populace, bringing everybody in, but that's over. It's coming to a final analysis. It can't go on that long. It's impossible. A disenfranchised, the Bible says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. This country is 50%, 51%, or 52% of the white Americans will love to see African American statistics show it. Go back to Africa. Go back to slavery. Get the hell out of America. That's what you're dealing with. And that's hard to deal with people when they're controlling the system that you, the very system in which you're trying to get some kind of consideration for. And it's going to continue to be hard. America is not so much the racist people, it's the racist conditions, it's the racist constitution, it's the racist policies that were put into place many, many years and never removed, never redone. It's the lack of reparations. It's the lack of respect for African-American people, African-American community, African-American contribution, African-American history, African-American inventions, African-American built every damn thing. We did everything. We did 50,000 inventions. 50,000 inventions. And you mean to tell me that we can't get no level of consideration? Well, here is the story. Time to separate. African Americans must seek their sovereignty and independence from America, because the way the relationship is designed right now, the policies, the procedures, the Constitution, the laws, judicial, municipal, federal, you call it whatever you want to call it, is not written in your favor. State by state by state, local state legislation, local state municipal municipalities, and city ordinances is not written in your favor. If you're African American and you think that this is in your favor, and you continue with what we see on the news, we continue to see the cops killing people, we continue to see the racism in the government, we continue to see the racism in law, the little boy was playing in an abandoned building, and the cops came and they ran out, 15 and 14-year-old boys. They killed the 14-year-old boy. They charged the black boy with capital murder. They got him in jail right now for 65 years. The young man been in there for 8 years already. Okay, the judge on the same day, same calendar, next hour, the next criminal defense, a person came in. And this white boy, 26, 27, he was on drugs, he hit a person with a car, he raped a little girl, he robbed, he steals, and he killed. And she gave him 3 years and get a little black boy 65 years for playing in an abandoned building. And when the cops came, getting scared and run, and the cops killed his friend. Instead of ballistics testing and charging the police officer with the killing, they charged the little boy with the killing. Gave him 65 years. Same damn court. How long is going to take for African-American people to wake up and see this venue, this setup is not for us? Why we have to work so hard, die so many years to get heard, to get anything done? Why everything we get, everything we try to apply and be fruitful and developmental and creative and developing powerful things in America to assist this economy, to assist this government to move forward, and we get no praise, we get hate? Why our prosperity is their anger? Why our success is their anger? The system is not designed around us. And when there is few resources in the United States of America, they do not want to share it with us. This is the conditions that we're living under. We have to decide to become independent of America. America became independent of England. There was no harassment, was no leaving no place or going no place else. We can stay right here and be sovereign and independent, because this melting pot, this coming together of all these people, is not working. It's not working at all. And as immigrants come, there are more social ills that come with that. And there are more proliferated racist systemic behavior with that. And then when you put everybody together, different languages, different cultures, different understandings, different backgrounds, you will never, never recover the 400 years of disaster, because you got concurrently another 400 years of disaster being created again. So we put everything from the original conditioning on the back burner, and then we come forward with the situation as it is now. We have to consider people's lives. My thing is the children. They're dying from infants because of infant mortality, and black women are at 60-something percent, and it's not due to bad health. It's not due to their physical body. It's due to bad maternal services. in the hospitals. Racism, institutionalized racism again. And it doesn't matter whether you're a rich black woman or you're middle class or you're poor. The maternal wards, the maternal services is terrible. And the black birth rate deaths are at a tremendous, higher than white women, higher than Hispanic women. That tells you something. Statistical facts tell you something. The fact that most African-American men, large majority of them, 60-70-something percent, are incarcerated. There are more of them in jail than there are in universities and high and schools. That tells you something. More black doctors and lawyers graduate school with the high GPA grades, and they can't get jobs. That tells you something. The every time black people ask for something in the governmental system, we are denied. That tells you something. We have to fight like we fought 400 years ago, like we fought 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 2,000 years, whatever. We have to keep fighting and fighting for every damn thing in America. It's one country, one policy, one constitution, one law. But why is it two separate societies? Patrick Moynihan said this many years ago. He said, you keep treating the colors like you're treating them. This is back in the 40s. He said, you're going to end up with two societies and one country. One society, mobile, upward going, prosperous, developing, expanding, being very, very, very economically powerful. And you have one society, one part of your society is going to be, it's going to be down and out, downtrodden, marginalized, economically impoverished, struggling, bad health, bad schools, bad environment, bad homes. Here we are today. Patrick Moynihan wrote this 40 years ago. Here we are today. Everything bad in the black community, everything is falling apart. Care, the education, the policing, the drugs, the alcoholism, the impoverishment, the homelessness. The dirt, the trash, the environment, even environmental racism. They toxify all of the black and brown neighborhoods. They put all the poison and all the chemicals that kill people in black and brown neighborhoods. It's a continuous racist society. They have no regard for you, and if you are not able to stand up for yourself and talk up for yourself and work up for yourself, you're going to be in a bad position if you don't find a way to come out of the circumstances that you're in. And it's beneficial for everybody. I'm not talking against white people. There are good white people who do not understand how we got here. They're not being educated properly. They got Black American history, or which is really American history, as CRT, critical race theory. So they throw all that out. So now, where do people get the right information for history? Where do people get understanding for history? If history is not understood, if history is not taught, where we came from, how we got there, what we do not want to be, it will repeat itself because people will not understand how to make a difference in their lives and how to change the conditions that they're dealing with. So here we are today, 2023, post-slavery syndrome America, and we're going forward with the same old, same old, same old, because these kids, these leaders, were the children of the racist movement in the 40s, the 50s, the 30s, the 1800s. These people in power today are the remnants of the history of the enslaver, the national white supremacist, the KKK, the Nazis, the skinheads, the haters. They are their children. They are the product of that, and they have not been educated. They have not been told different. They have not been developed. We're not moving forward. We're going backwards, and we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We're going to open up the mics and get the audience to give their opinion on some of this that's going on. 929-586, your mic is open.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, everyone. Hotep, as usual, Dr. Ryan, you're on point. However, we keep on talking about the same thing. We keep on going through. Every 50 years, we go through another situation. Where do we wind up? In the same damn place, all right? Not doing business with each other, not trusting each other. I just, and so on. But I'm looking at the battle overseas for Africa. And the United States and Europe are not, is not good for Africa. Never been, you know, the history. Okay, but when a vice president can go over there and say, hey, listen, we want, you know, if you do this for human rights, okay, we'll give you $60 million. In other words, you know, treats your homosexuals and so on better, you know, and we'll give you this $60 million. They did this in several countries, including South Africa. And leaders of South Africa and Ghana says, why don't you take that to Saudi Arabia? Have you offered that to them, that type of deal? Or Russia, you know, or China. This is our heritage. This is where, this is God's house here in Africa. We obey his law. Now, you're trying to force something on us and saying, well, if you don't do this, we don't get any aid. Well, they're losing because Russia and China are giving them weapons to protect themselves, infrastructure, and so on. The only thing that America and Europe is giving them, guaranteeing loans, you know, guaranteeing loans, and from ECOWAS and from other international monetary funds and stuff like that. And when these people are coming there and giving them hard infrastructure, all right? White people, Europeans, Americans, how they got everything that they got, they stole it. They lied for it. They bought the Bible in to take it. And as we're going through talking about Ethiopian World Federation and its locals, I'm partial to Local 26, if we're going to invest in anything, including ourselves and working together, we better invest in Africa because that's where the deal is and it's going to be. People of France is going crazy because Gabon, Nigeria, Benin, you don't want to cut them off because of all the oil they're stealing and been stealing for years. The gold that they're stealing and that the United States is stealing. You know, all the gold that the United States takes out of a country, they only give the country about 15%. You know, so we have a global situation that we have to deal with here and there. I think our main buck should be investing in us, put some money over there, take care of here. But whoever falls astray. This is no joke. And this is how that we will survive. Dealing back home. We got these crazy black Republicans. I don't know where they came from, you know, and so on. But I praise the brothers in Tennessee and all of the warriors that are out there trying to do something. But don't get hooked up in this human rights situation that Europe and America is trying to promote, because we have no human rights here. And everybody in Africa knows it. Africa knows it. You want to bring the Bible here, you want to bring your homosexuals here, you want to bring all this stuff here, you want to pay us. They're trying to get rid of the leaders that are taking money under the table. And the economic hitmen from Europe and America bribing even the lower aspects of those government officials for water rights to fish, for digging gold. And then all the white people that are going there trying to make deals with people on their land so that these white people can buy their land and take the gold or take the natural resources. You know, all right? But when we try to do something, when we go over there, we don't trust each other. We don't trust each other. We prefer to trust Yaku rather than to work together and trust us and do us. I'm shutting up now.
I hear you. Great. Okay, we're going to open up 469-512. 469-512, your mic is open.
Hey, how y'all doing?
You might have to unmute it. Hey, how are you?
Can y'all hear me? Everything's good.
Yes.
Everything's good. I kind of got into the conversation late, but I did hear what you said briefly, and then I heard what the brother was just talking about.
The primary focus is that the conditions that we're in now, in terms of what we've seen happening in Tennessee, what we see happening across America, the racism is rising up. We see that the history is not taught very well because they want to keep this racist behavior. And so we're saying sovereignty, independence for African Americans, separate ourselves from this craziness. What do you say?
Okay. I say that the racism had never left. They just learned to mask it very well because it was due for their benefit to mask themselves as being accepting or have an acceptance of black folk here in America, having businesses and being educated, because they do not like that. We are a threat when it comes to that. We are the original people, so we are a big threat to the Europeans. We are a threat to the secret society. Anybody that has knowledge of self or knowledge of where they come from and their background are a threat. Now, as far as all the other things that are going on in the world, as he said, the U.S., the Europeans, they stole everything. So everything that belonged to our people and belonged to the indigenous people are artifacts of value. And history has been watered down, and people have been brainwashed and taught differently. And as far as religion is the part where they took away the books. They took us away from knowledge of who we were. They brainwashed, they beat our slaves, they mistreated them, and forced them into a belief or a lifestyle system which wasn't fit for them. So in today's society, the slavery now is through the music, through the entertainment, through the different positions that they allow on the corporate ladder. That's why there's not too many of us who can climb the corporate ladder without going independent and creating their own businesses, because they only want us to go so far. So to answer the question on where these black Republicans come from, these black Republicans are only black in color. They are not black in soul. They are not black in growth. These are the people we used to call Uncle Toms. They only believe in what they were taught. They only believe in what the white man says or what the European says, what the master says. And this is the fall of our society. As far as everything else that's going on with black people not unifying, it's because they've been brainwashed through money, fame, riches, things that they would normally get on their own. The Europeans, the industry, learned to utilize that to their benefit. So every time you see a major artist that's talking about there's no slavery, there's no secret societies, there's nobody being held back in the industry, such as Lil Wayne, when Lil Wayne says that it's no way black people are being held back because he's a millionaire now. Okay, with him saying that, just shows the ignorance of the people that come through the industry. They're brainwashed. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. They only know what they're taught. They only know what they see. So a lot of times people denounce God. So because they denounce God, no matter how you may see him, there is a higher power. There is a higher creator. There is a creator of the universe. And no matter how you may see him, which you may call him, he is in control. And although things happen that you figure, oh, well, why would God let this happen? Well, if God took care of everything for us, how will we ever learn to do things for ourselves? How will we ever learn to be creative? How will we ever learn to research? How will we ever learn to do anything? That's like being in a state of slavery within itself. If everything is done for you and you have no room to grow or to learn, then you're just like the rest of the artists in the industry. People throw money at you, you dance like a puppet. So
interesting, interesting.
And that's just
yes.
my point
Thank
of view.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your input, and we thank you so much. We appreciate that. And this number here, I believe, is the man himself. I recognize it, Barry Braxton, Braxton Financial. Welcome to the studio.
How you
going to
say that?
Yeah.
How you going to say that?
Good evening. No comments at this time. No comments at this time. Thank you.
Barry? Hello?
Yes, no comments at this time. No comments.
Tell him you're driving.
Okay, I just thought you might want to say hello and tell a little bit about the business, you know. Okay, we have one of our great hosts of the great show on Sunday nights, East Open World Federation Incorporated, Miss Local 26, Women's Auxiliary. Mrs. Sadie Gomez is extremely intelligent, extremely kind. If you really, really want to get information, you really want to be involved, Sundays, 7 p.m., same number, 847-347-8571311 at 7 p.m., and get into Sunday nights with Sadie Gomez and Ethan World Federation, Local 26, and the Women's Auxiliary. Let me give a nice hand and bring her in.
Well, thank you so very much, Dr. Robinson. You've been so kind.
Thank you.
I've been listening to your show for maybe just 25 minutes or so, and one of your callers had something very interesting to say that has been a very much a concern of mine, whereby we are watching the American dollar being threatened, you know, and we know if we should be real about it, a few countries have gotten together called BRIC, and they are doing something. And in a little while from now, we don't know estimated time, but the American dollar will not be as strong as it used to be. But here I am watching, you know, within that economic structure, that the great Babylon is going to fall. And it's just not, you know, prophecy that tells us that, but we actually living in a time whereby we could see changes and differences, and we understand the book of Revelation even more as we see the various vials that will be opened and poured upon us. But more importantly, so there's something I really wanted to say this evening as well that came to my awareness. You know, recently the VP, Kamala Harris, she went to Africa with some deadly threats, mainly to Kenya and Uganda, the states that refused the alphabet community. And she made some really deadly threats, stating that there will be painful sanctions if given, if the order of the day was not being followed. But, you know, such hypocrisy, because what is not being reported on the news, however, Poland, Europe, Polish people, this has not been on the news, but it was sent to me because, you know, my spies, they know everything. So in Poland, about a month ago or so, it's the start of the year, the LGBTQ community, or a few of them, decided that they would hold a gathering, possibly a march, and the Polish people stoned them just like in the days of the Bible, and they had to run off the streets real quick. And that was not reported. So which means in Poland, you cannot go there and force no LGBTQ agenda. So if you cannot go to Poland and do it, I am just saying leave Africa alone. So this is just my take for the evening, Dr. Robinson.
That makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. There are many countries saying, why do you need special laws for LGBTQ, whatever this community is? Why do you need special laws for them? Why do you need to set aside for them? Why are you developing all this extra when you have numerous, numerous concerns over the world? There's a tremendous concern over baby deaths, over simple malaria. There's concerns over poverty. Poverty, people don't realize how much poverty is killing babies and children over this world. Millions and millions of children die over poverty, the lack of good medical treatment, malnutrition, malaria, disease, environmental intoxication, environmental pollution, intensively environmental pollution through chemicals that corporations and oil tanks spill in the water, and people have to drink and bathe in this mess. So there are many, many more problems in the world than trying to asphyxiate some kind of little fairy tale about some LGBT community and rainbows all over the place. And now the man was saying in the stores, you have these little rainbow T-shirts for little boys, and said, I am a rainbow. I'm proud to be in a rainbow. And we're talking about infant clothing. We're talking about, you know, little babies, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months clothing, and they're saying all this rainbow business. The man pointed it out.
To
the local store. Yeah.
They're trying to catch them from the womb for the indoctrination.
But then you know something, the irony of it all is they have no respect for people of color, irregardless of heterosexual or whatever it is. They have no respect for us as a people. So just like Ronald Lay said, how can you be respectful of one portion of society and disrespect the other? If you can't respect man and woman and child and family, you can't tell me that all of a sudden now this whole new dysfunctional society, this something so different, you're going to try to make that your core concern, your main ingredient of what you feel is needed in society to survive. And it's not. It's not. Homosexuals or whoever they are, if they just go about their business, do whatever they do in their privacy, they will still be white and get a job. They still will be white female and get a job. The society, the racism is the racism is not sexual orientation. It is societal. It is based on colonialism and imperialism. And colonialism and imperialism had nothing to do with homosexuality. It had to do with color of people's skin and races against people of color, people who own land, who own countries, who own places to take over what belongs to them. Okay, people will steal your inheritance if they can. That's what this is all about. Smoke screen it, to cover it up, to make it look like one thing from another. Here they come with all these different ailments, and they don't even want to straighten out the one from you. If you can't, America, if you can't straighten out 400 years of this societal mess that you created, called slavery, institutionalized, systemic, societal racism. If you can't go back and change that, how in the hell you gonna change something about some homosexuality? It don't make no sense. The two don't go together.
Well, you know, Dr. Robinson, just to add to what you're saying, Dr. Robinson, because, you know, I find it quite humorous, but I just want to add this bit of humor. I was living a better life in the days when it was don't ask, don't tell. You know, I was very comfortable there with Clinton. When there was a time Clinton said, don't ask, don't tell. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to tell you what sex they are. We're not interested. We don't want to know. Just like in the days in the army, Clinton said, it's all right, you know, get in there and keep your mouth shut.
Exactly. But when people are trying to push an ideology, they're trying to push a societal abnormality, they're trying to create something that's not there, they have their ways of pushing things in. See, in America, this white European in America, he's trying to not reveal himself by going and finding, you know, some odd, if you will, some odd campaign, some odd revolution. You know, we want to save the whales. They'll tell you about saving whales and going in the sky and saving some kind of bird, you know, or something like that. They always been covering up something. Well, no, we can't talk about that because we're so busy with the saving the bears. Or we can't talk about that because we're so busy trying to socialize white women into society. So we have a Me Too movement so white women can get paid like white men get paid. Well, let me tell you something. As a black man, I don't get paid much as a white woman. So where is the irony in that? Okay? So they come up every time, they come up with these different smoke screens of stupidity. Like they're so good, they're so concerned. If you're not concerned about heterosexual male and female, which creates families, which creates societies, how the hell are you going to tell me you're so concerned about something that have nothing to do with nothing? Something that is made up and created by you. Something that if you just go ahead and do what you do, I can't push my blackness on other people, but it's seen and it's known and they see me when I come. But it's not on me to say, oh, you know, white people become black. You know what I'm saying? You can't push your ideology. White people can't push their ideology on black people, and this is the part of the problem in society. People pushing their ideology without us all just coming along and developing and doing and getting things done. Stick with the question at hand. We're a society that's tormented, that dismantled, that disorganized, and I'll say it again, but like the Bible say, a house divided against itself shall not stand. So, in those instances, we will not, all of us will not make it until we come together and understand that there is only a certain amount of space and time, there's only a certain amount of air, water, and land, and we got 8 billion people on this earth, and this earth can't contain everybody. But if we don't understand how to come together in humanity to one another and live together, we are, the Bible says we're gonna die like fools. So that is where we're dealing right now. But at the Black Business Business Network Club, we got some exciting things happening with hemp. We got some exciting business opportunities, some exciting business development. My brother, my sister, do not sleep on the Black Business Billionaires Network Club because we're going to bring economics back. Economics is so important. Economics is a controlling tool. When a man gives you a salary, he can tell you when to come to work, when not to come to work, when to stay home, what to do, what to say, what not to say. People working capacities right now, big shot journalists, whether it's in publication, whether it's television journalism or publication journalism, all over the society, they're controlled. Their media control their directives. How they speak and how they write their journalism is biased. If you write the New York Times, you got one thing. You write for the New York Post, you got one type of journalist. They write according to what is controlled, and that's how society is. If a person is paying your salary and they were racist and they don't like certain kinds of things that black people say or do, or whether they want black people to rise up to their level, they will hold you back. So independence, financial independence is what's needed. You need to have your own money, your own business. You need to control your financial narrative. You need to control that. so that when you need to say something, you can say it. You need to do something, you can do it, and there is nobody to hinder you by holding you back financially or otherwise. So, let's get it together. Thank you so much, sister. Stay on, and keep listening. We got more to come. Checking on you back, 347-388, seeing if things are looking up there. Okay, we got the man himself is in here tonight as well. I'm just so overwhelmed with radio show host. I just feel so great tonight. I got all the great radio show hosts with us tonight. I got Dr. Benjamin Bridges from Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation. He comes on tomorrow night, 7 to 9. You can't miss him. Got a great, great show. Let's give a nice hand and bring him on into the studio.
Yes, sir, my brother. Yes, sir. Well, it's been an interesting conversation so far in discussing, the gun situation and discussing how we definitely need to come together to see what we can do to overcome, a lot of the problems that we're confronted with as a people. And, as my sister said, one of the things that, one of the brothers spoke on that is, really true, too. We definitely need to see what we can do to come out of, dealing with this by sitting on the sideline, because this is something that we just can't deal with like that. And the brother spoke also about the fact that many of our people are brainwashed into just, listening to Master Charlie and just going along with what Master Charlie has to say. And that's really crazy, because we need to be independent in regards to, just living a positive, prosperous, and healthy lifestyle. We don't need to be in a state of what they call slavery mentality. And when you're in a state of slavery mentality, that not only is it hurting you as an individual, but it's also hurting your people. But you have to come out of that and live just the way any white person in this country that is successful and is living a decent and good life, we can live that same thing. But the problem is, we've been told that we're not, supposed to try to live that type of lifestyle. We should just, basically be satisfied with living in poverty and accepting that, and accepting a mindset of poverty consciousness, and just want to stay down and out financially and barely making it to survive. And that's not something that we should accept, nor should we accept the fact that we need to just be in slavery mentality as well, but we just need to listen to Master Charlie and whatever they want us to do. But the other side of the table is this, and this is something that we really need to look at, and unfortunately it wasn't like really brought up strongly yet, and that is spiritually coming to the table to really try to do what we can to overcome the problems that are confronting us as well. And again, being that the brainwashing has confronted us, unfortunately, in a very successful way, because many of our people don't recognize our true identity of who we are, what we can do, and how we can achieve great success in coming about and dealing with different problems that are confronting us, so we could overcome those problems. But the big problem is that, when you are brainwashed and you're saying, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other, just sit on the sideline and just cool out and just accept what Master Charlie wants you to do. And unfortunately, when you got people in that mindset that are saying, okay, I'm going to accept this, then basically, that puts you in a bad situation. But when you can awaken from the brainwashing of the lies of Satan that have been told to you, that are telling you that you're incapable of doing any great and wonderful and amazing things that can happen in your life, then that's going to hold you back. But when you can break free from that and actually acknowledge your true identity, because as I said before, one of the statements that was in the Bible, that, really spoke on what God had said about us, because we were the original people on planet Earth. And when he spoke about us. And he said, you are made in the likeness and in the image of God. Now, that is a very powerful statement. Some of you might say, ah, that don't mean nothing. But it does mean a whole lot. When you're made in the likeness and image of God, and you're talking about the supreme Lord of the universe that created millions of planets, suns, moons, and our sky, and ocean, and birds, and dogs, and elephants, and lions, the whole nine yards. He did all of that. And how could you do all of that and then can't allow you to come out of poverty, can't allow you to come out of, you know, the situation that we're confronting with racism and all that kind of crazy stuff? We can come out of it. But the problem is, if you're going to feel that, oh, man, this will never happen, you're going to have that kind of negative attitude, then you're right, it won't happen for you. But if you can free yourself from that slave mentality of feeling that you are just a slave to poverty, a slave to racism, and that you'll never come out of it, then that's a whole nother story. But that's one of the things that we need to come together with. And the problem is that not everyone is capable at this point of accepting what we're talking about right now. A lot of people think coming together to really deal with our problems from a spiritual standpoint, that's a bunch of crap, and, you know, God and Jesus or Allah, whatever you want, your spiritual, you know, path you're on, none of them can help us, you know. If they could, we would be out of this already. But when you really look out of it, we already came out of slavery. We were actually had chains around our wrists, our ankles. We were in situations that were 1,000 times worse than what we're living now. So we did come out of slavery to a certain extent, but we are still confronting certain forms of slavery now, not to its full extent like we had it earlier. So we did improve our situation, but we need to improve it even more so again. And the best way to do that is through spirituality, is through God, and is through realizing that if we're made in the image and likeness of God, that means that we have the power and ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things for ourselves and for our people. But the bottom line is, if you don't believe that you can do any of these things, then guess what? You're not going to be capable of doing it. But once you awaken to the fact of who you are, a God being that is a true son or daughter of God that has these spiritual powers, but the only problem is we've been told that we don't. And that was something that they definitely didn't want you to know about. And that's one of the reasons in the churches, these were things that were never really acceptable for us to be taught in church. You know, you've been told that you're a sinner and that you can't, you know, overcome your sins, but if you try long enough and hard enough, one day you'll be able to rise up out of your sinful ways, and that's what you should stay focused on, and that's it. And I'm not saying that overcoming your sins is a bad thing. It's a good thing to do that. But to acknowledge your true identity of who you are as a God being, instead of just a loser or a person that's caught up into slave mentality and just accepting that as your true identity, that is not what you should be doing. But this is the thing. We as a people, for those who are awakened spiritually enough to have an open heart and open mind to knowing that we are God beings, those are the ones we need to come in touch with first to work with. And once we can come together and do prayer, meditation, fasting, you know, spiritual aspects or using spiritual tools to actually elevate ourselves and free ourselves from the negativity that we're dealing with right now, that would be great. But unfortunately, when you do have a lot of doubting Thomases and a lot of doubting Thomasinas that don't believe that these are things that we could ever do, and that even in the Bible, God was just kidding around and joking around with us by telling us that we are made in the likeness and image of God. But that's not a joke. That was the truth of God. He was trying to tell us that. But again, with the brainwashing that has been poured into our minds over the years, because you're looking at 400 years of you being told that you're mentally incapable, you're not able to do this, you're not able to do that. And unfortunately, many of our people have fallen into accepting that. But that's one of the reasons why with those that haven't accepted that, those are the ones that we can work with right now and that we can focus on utilizing our spiritual power and ability to bring about positive change. And one of the main reasons why I even speak on this is because if it wasn't for the fact that Jesus even came to this person and spoke to them, me, about how I could actually do things with our people to overcome certain problems that we were confronted with from a spiritual perspective, I would have never known that as well. I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to say, oh, yeah, I always knew that this, we could do this, and I always knew we could do that spiritually. No, I didn't always know that. But from that experience that we had back in 2010, that was definitely a mind-opener to let you know that we have the ability to do some great things. And that's what we really need to start to focus on, bringing our people together, whether it's Muslims, whether it's, you know, Christians, whether it's Hebrew Israelites, whether it's Rastafarians. We all need to come together, just as we did back in the 60s. Because we weren't saying back in the 60s, listen, if we're going to come together to overcome these problems that we're dealing with, you know, I ain't dealing with no Muslims. Or if we're going to deal with coming together in spiritual unity, I ain't dealing with no Rastafarians. We didn't have those brick walls of hatred against ourselves spiritually back in the 60s when we were working together, you know, to overcome racism. And, I mean, we had, you know, some serious racism back then. You couldn't even go to a store. You couldn't go to a hotel. You couldn't go to a restaurant. You know, even if you're going to get on a bus, you had to sit in the back of the bus and all kind of crazy stuff, man. But the bottom line was that racism was terrible. But we came together as a people at that time period, and that was one of the things that really helped us. But the thing about it, we never really focused on the spiritual aspect of what we did with that. So we had, like, Martin Luther King, and one of the things that happened with him was the churches. They didn't just come together to do marches. They actually got together and prayed on things as well. But nobody really speaks on that part of it. All they talk about is the marches and the protests that they did. But the icing on the cake, even with that, was them coming together in prayer and focusing on seeing racism, the chains of racism, you know, being broken, and our people being freed from the racism that was happening at that time. And it did work. But the thing about it was we did both. We ended up doing the spiritual aspect of it, and we did the physical aspect of it too, which was the marches and the protests as well. But one thing, which is the icing on the cake once again, is us coming together in spiritual unity. And that's something, unfortunately, that our people overlook, because we do not believe that that we have the power to really do anything that can really bring about change, that can free us from a lot of the negative things that are affecting us right now. And that's not true. We do have the spiritual power to do that, you know. But the bottom line is, as the old saying goes, what you see is what you get. So if you're going to see things from a negative mindset, and you're going to be stuck in seeing yourself impoverished, you're going to see yourself stuck in a slave mentality aspect, then those are the things that are going to hold you back. But if you can see yourself as your true identity, as a God being that has been blessed with the God-given power to do different great and marvelous things for yourself and for your people, that's what we need to focus on, and that's what we can do to bring about positive change as well. And the combination of the physical as well is not a bad thing either. We can also do marches. We can also do protests as well, again. But the bottom line is the most powerful aspect of those situations is spirituality. Because when you are dealing with the Supreme Lord of the universe that is empowering you to overcome certain problems that you have, that's very powerful. And even though some of us may disagree with that and say, what? God can't help us. Jesus can't. Allah can't help us. I don't care who you're dealing with spiritually. Ain't nobody can help us like that. And unfortunately, because people may have prayed in the past and it didn't work for them, they have thrown in the towel with God and Christ. And because of that, you know, they do not feel that these are things that, you know, they can overcome from a spiritual perspective. But like I said, if I hadn't even experienced that myself and seen the ending of the gang wars, when these kids didn't want to come out of the gangs and we focused on seeing them coming out, you know, even though they didn't want to, that spiritual power actually pulled them out of those gangs, even though they didn't want to come out. Because some of the gangbangers were saying, hey, you know, our gang just defeated 3 or 4 different gangs in our community, and these guys were forcing them to sell drugs for us, and you want us to come out of these gangs? You got to be crazy. You ain't coming out of these gangs. But the thing about it was, when we meditated on it, when we prayed on it, we focused on that from a spiritual perspective, those same ones that said that there was no way they were going to come out because they were just interested in filling their wallet with money, they did come out. And that was the beautiful thing about it. And I know for some people, they say, get out of here, man. You didn't do nothing like that. But when God actually wants you to be able to share this information with your people, he actually even presented different awards to me. And some of you guys have seen the awards, and some of you haven't. But they were awards from congressmen, senators, county legislators. We also had principals of different schools and superintendents of schools and things of that sort. So we had a number of different awards given from different people in the community because they saw how we had ended the gang war and that fighting in the schools, especially in Mount Vernon area, that was for 10 years with no violence in the school. And that was a good thing because these kids were killing themselves left and right for a good while. So I was really glad to see that opportunity that Jesus shared with us came through, because when he did share that with us, we utilized that, and that really made some big change to come through for our people. Anyway, I just wanted to share that we do need to come through, coming together in spiritual unity to be a blessing to our community.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Thank you so much, so much, so much. People, don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., 347-857-1311. You just heard Dr. Benjamin Bridges from Experience of Spiritual Unity and Meditation. Wonderful, wonderful show. Do not miss it. Thank you so much for being on. And we want to let you know that the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, we're trying to bring businesses together, develop economic opportunities. We're doing financing. We're developing a new business this year that we're going into. We're working on developmental stages of it, the hemp business, creating hemp and for medicinal purposes, et cetera. And that's going tremendously well. And we want everyone who's in the business, who want a business, who want to start a business, to join with us. Join with us as Black businesses working together to develop and help expand each other. And we know finances is a key thing. So we're working on finances as well. I'm going to go back to 347-388, Mr. Braxton, Barry Braxton, see if he's available. Okay, so I'm going to open up 205-742. Your mic is open.
Yes, how y'all doing today?
Great, great.
I don't have much on my mind today. I just, it's like to say hello to everyone and keep up doing the good work, great work. And we are going to get there one day. We're going to get there sooner than we think. And that's about all I have to say.
Yeah, you know, we were looking at Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, the three people got expulsion for basically trying to work up a talk up for those who got killed in Nashville through that gunman, and they were trying to talk about legislation and gun reform, and it got expulsion, and two young brothers who talked so eloquently about society conditioning and what's going on, and it's coming to a point, people, where we have to learn to be independent, we have to learn to be self-sufficient, we have to learn to work together, and this is what's going to happen. And I'm not saying to X out anyone, I'm not saying any racist thing, I'm just saying it is what it is, what it's going to be, and that's why we're going to have to deal with it. So my brother, my sister, let's come together in business, let's come together in commerce, let's develop together, let's build community together. It's coming to that time. We have to be self-sufficient. So thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you as well. 323-899. Your mic is open.
Greetings, this is Catherine.
Say it again, please.
This is Catherine.
Good.
Can you
so
hear
wonderful
me?
To hear your voice. Yes, we hear you very well. We'd like to hear your comments as well.
I am in agreement that we are living in a time where black people need to come together and be a united force in front. Other people are doing it, and they are outpacing us. And I'm so glad that I was on that. Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very well. Continue.
Okay, yes. And other people are outpacing us. I live in a predominantly black neighborhood here in Los Angeles, Westmont Athens. And when I moved here with my family in 2003, all of my neighbors were black. On my door in 2023, every other house belongs to someone who doesn't look like me. And other people who don't look like me are forming LLCs and buying up the property. Families are not buying up the property. Other people forming businesses and working in collusion are buying these houses. Okay. So where does that leave our people? Houseless. There's an epidemic of that. So we do need to come together. And God is not mocked. He always gives us a way out. Okay. And recently, I was able to do a presentation of what I have discovered that I find is a solution to what we are experiencing in this country. And I did this presentation in front of a group of black leaders here in Los Angeles on Martin Luther King Day. The keynote speaker was Malik Zulu Shabazz. I don't know if anybody in the audience is familiar with that brother, but he is the mentee of Khalid Muhammad. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that brother. But needless to say, this young brother who is now a lead attorney at the federal level, lead attorney for justice for black people who are being poorly treated and incarcerated, Malik Zulu Shabazz, came to Los Angeles on Martin Luther King Day. I got tapped on the shoulder to talk about black economics, which I hear is resonating on this call, that we need to come together for black economics. Black economics is black power. So I'm going to give you an excerpt of what I said that day so that you can get an idea of why I am happy and pleased and to be on this phone talking about this today. I entitled my short presentation, Struggle No More. You feel me?
Yes.
And my presentation was about the black economy. And I said, raise your black fist if you think there is a black economy in this country. There were a few hands raised. We might even have some hands raised on this call. There was an elder in front of me raised his hand. I said, brother, can you tell me why you think there's a black economy? And he said, black people spend a lot of money. I said, I agree with you, brother. Let me elaborate on that. And then I said, brother, can you tell us why you think there is a black economy, given the living conditions of the black community in this country? And then I said, what if I told you that there is a trillion-dollar game they don't want black people to know about going on in this country, in the black community right now? And I went on to say, and that there is a company here, a black company that is black-owned and has been working on the solution since 2015, okay? And as a result, a tsunami of black success is about to hit this country like you've never seen before, okay? I said, picture this. The U.S. black economy is currently $1.8 trillion strong. Did you know that?
Amen.
That is enough money to run the economy of 9 countries. Did you know that? What's happening is the black economy is being crippled. The black community is not being a good steward of the money God has given us. The black community is shooting its own self in its foot every single time it spends its black dollars outside of the black community. Isn't that something? Brothers and sisters, time for an awakening of the power of black spending. Black spending within the black community. You feel me?
Yes, ma'am.
The company that is here to unite positive black people and get them buying from black-owned businesses consistently is called Tag Team Marketing International Incorporated. I don't know if you guys have heard that, but it's all over social media and the internet. Team is a black corporate company that is here to solve this hemorrhaging of black spending outside the black community once and for all.
Amen.
Well, I'm here to share the truth with you today, this great day that we honored Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s ultimate position on the black economy was for us to pool our resources. Y'all remember that?
Amen.
Who can remember Dr. King saying those words? It's all on the internet. Well, I'm
here
to see it through. Tag Team Marketing has been in the marketing and distribution industry since August of 1994. This is not an overnight success. This has been brewing since 1994. It is the most ethical black company that I have ever seen or heard of, okay? What makes Tag Team so great is that it specializes in marketing and distributing top-shelf black products of black-owned businesses to black consumers. Are you with me?
Amen. Yes.
Everybody that is involved in the business is black. Black founders, black staff, black employees, black businesses that supply the products, black tag team marketers that sell the products to family and friends, black consumers that buy the black products, and black people participating. What company is doing that for black people? Okay? Next, what makes Tag Team so unique and powerful is its Tag Team marketers, distributors of black products, black people, distributing black products to their family and friends. That's the difference. Just so you know, it is the greatest black business opportunity on the planet for black people. Okay?
Wow.
Tag Team marketers are being trained up as leaders. We are missing leaders in our community. Tag team marketers are being trained up as leaders. And these are black businessmen and women who are being trained up as leaders in their respective communities, utilizing black business skills and techniques developed over time by its founders, black business legends Delzino and Deborah Wilson Debriano. What makes tag team marketers so unique is they are dedicated to this great cause for us to come together and support each other. Okay? And this is not just for us here in the States. This is a worldwide movement of black people.
Wow.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, so the tag team marketers are putting black business on the map on all six continents. Tag team marketers earn seven ways at one time. What company is paying black people seven ways at one time? By simply sending their family and friends to www.buyblackmovement.com to purchase their black, to be shipped to their door at least once a month. When that happens, 24 black families get paid every time one product gets sold. Who does that for black people? So far, over 230,000 black products have sold, shipped, and delivered to black households all over. And the Buy Black movement just started in 2015. If all of this success can happen in such a short period of time, this is divine, and this is going to increase exponentially.
Mm.
And there's over 75,000 black people in the movement right now. And the numbers are going moment by moment because people are finding out and joining. Okay?
Fantastic.
So Tag Team is working hard through its Buy Black movement to drive back, start with 1%. 1% of $1.8 trillion is $18 billion. And we're talking about in 12 months, not 5 years, not by and by. We're talking about in 12 months, $18 billion, if we work together.
Amen. Amen.
What can the black community do with $18 billion?
Mm.
In 1 year, that would create a black economy of $18 billion. Now, who wants to be a part of that black economy?
Amen.
And so there's a black people who commit to purchasing their black products from a black business in the movement have a special calling in this movement. They're called official supporters of the Buy Black movement. Supporters who shop with the black businesses in the movement, they get rewarded. Their money is not just taken and they never see it again. They earn reward dollars, which they use every 3 months to purchase free black products. Supporters get discounts on best-selling products. Like, there's an epidemic of diabetes and hypertension and high cholesterol. There's a product being distributed in the movement called Motherland's Gold Moringa. Moringa is the most nutrient-rich plant on the planet. And guess where they found it at? In Africa. And now it grows in other places. Black people are right in. This one brother, teen medications because of hypertension. He started taking that Motherland Gold Moringa. He started taking that Shepherd's Harvest Muscadine Grape, the Bullet, all those from the East Coast, the Bullet. Together, that brother went down to two medications over a short period of time and said he's walking. But he said he's going to be walking 6 miles when he's done with this. That brother was was on what is called the supporter briefing on last Tuesday night. The brother said he is now walking 6 miles, and he's primarily off all the medication. This is what our products do for us. We have gotten away from this. We are getting back to it in the movement, okay? And finally, this is what I can say is coming together. Let's come together. Let's honor our ancestors. They left clues for us to be able to be free. Marcus Garvey, at the turn of the century outside of slavery, said, be black, think black, buy black, and the world of the Negro can be self-contained. This movement is following the blueprint of our ancestor, our brother, Marcus Garvey. This movement is following the our brother, Dr. Martin Luther King. This movement is following our brother, Malcolm X, who said, do business. This movement is following Dr. Baranga Kalanga, who said, put these seven principles of Panza in place so that we can come together in an organized way. All of that is going on in this movement and so much more. I'm getting my black education in this movement. I'm getting a degree in blackology in this movement. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. What's your last name?
Myers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S as in Sam. I want to honor Pastor Don for inviting me to this call today, because he felt my heart and he believes that what I have to say is the truth and it needs to be heard. It needs to resonate in this country and around the world, and that's what's happening in the movement. And hold on to your seat. It's a whole new, improved, revolutionary website. Buy Black Movement website is about to drop and shake up the internet. Thank you.
Now, hello?
I'm with you.
Okay, so how do we get involved? If you have your website
okay,
for yourself.
Okay, I'm going to give you Pastor Don's link. Pastor Don, why don't you give it to them since you have it handy?
No, I got his info. I can contact him.
No,
contact
I was
going to
give you his Buy Black Movement information.
No. I can contact him as well because he's
no problem. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, but I want you to come back on because Black Business Network Club, the radio program, we're by economic development in the African American community. We're developing anti-poverty program, eradicate poverty, homelessness in our communities. And this is what we're working on. I've been doing it for my 70-something years as my birthday coming up. And by the grace of God, I'm still
Well, you know,
here,
I sing on birthdays.
And, okay, I'll call you and you can sing something to me. yeah, definitely. But sister, this is so wonderful. This is so exciting. It's a blessing from God. And I look forward to working with you. I look forward to having you on every Friday night. Let's develop this. You know, because our folks.
What time on Friday night?
Every Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, New York City time.
Okay, thank you.
But I know you're in Cali, so you're 3 hours behind me.
We're 3 hours behind you.
Yeah, so you're
so if it's seven, it'll be four here.
You're right, exactly. So love to have you on. I love to continue this conversation because people need to be educated about economics. We actually, as you said, we contribute $2.1 trillion to the gross national product in America every year, and we have no consumer rights, we have no citizen rights, no constitutional rights. Everything has been violated, and why should we keep paying these people to keep getting violated? So people, what Sister Captain Myers is saying, it's important. Get off your behind, people, because I know y'all, you know, black people sometimes are very lackadaisical and they're stagnant. It's time to go, people. It's time to go. It's time to get up. Get with this black community. Get with this black community. And we all talk about economics. We all talk about working together. We all talk about developing the economy together. And this is a way to do that. Someone has developed a system where that could be done. And I urge you, ma'am, sir, young man, young woman, get involved. Sister Captain, you got a minute? I want to open up some lines and see if anybody want to ask you a little more questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. 929-586, your mic is open. You're on with Sister Catherine.
Yes, Sister Catherine. My name is Ronald A. Robinson. How are you this evening? And thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. I was personally invited by Pastor Don. And it is my heart. The word of God says, if you got the candle and it's lit, light up the world.
Yes, absolutely. I will, with your question, how do we find out about the products that the organization has that we can start purchasing?
Pastor Don, are you on with us? One moment, please. Pastor Don, are you on?
Let me see here. 602-478.
Mike Jack.
Pastor Don, are you on with us?
Yes, ma'am, I am here.
May I have your web link to the Buy Black Movement website, please?
It's just like you said, Pastor Don Jr.CEO, buyblackmovement.com/PastorDonJr.CEO. No
Don,
spaces.
Don, what's after Don?
DonJr.CEO.
Okay, got it. Did you get that one?
Say
the first part again, Pastor Don.
Okay, buyblackmovement.com.
B-U-Y, spell B-U-Y, B-U-Y, and then spell
yeah,
the word black.
I'm getting a little old here. I'm getting a little old here, y'all.
Okay.
Don, Pastor Don, this is Ron Robinson. Text it to me.
Yes, sir. I will definitely,
okay,
sir.
So
I will
much.
Definitely take it to you.
Y'all hold on there. We want to see if we got any more people would like to ask you any questions.
Okay, thank you.
All the black manufacturers as well.
Your mic is open.
Okay.
Say that again.
Yes, my mic open.
Somebody said something?
Yeah, the mic is open.
Black manufacturers also.
There is a program called the Black Business Network that is exclusively for black suppliers who have top shelf products. They can become business members in the movement, and Tag Team goes to work on your behalf, marketing and distributing those products to our people, and you get paid.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay. 205-742, your mic is open. You're on with Kathleen.
All right, Kathleen, how you doing? This is Terrence
Rowe. Greetings. I am well. I'm excited to be here, my dear brother.
Yes, and I'm down here in the dirty South, if you ever heard it put like that, in Alabama. So we done let the cotton fields grow up to pine trees.
Hey, listen, brother, okay. y'all ain't, I'm from South Carolina. Y'all, Mississippi, keep picking up our name. Alabama.
Well, we're going to turn all those areas into black meccas. That's what we're going to do.
That's exactly what I've been pushing for, striving for. I am 58 years old, and I've been a businessman since I was a teenager. But when I got to be a man at 24, I got in business.
Come on now, that's your calling, brother.
And I've been pushing this thing all my life.
I was
blessed by God to get into the funeral business. I'm not a mortuary. Okay. I'm in the construction side. I dig the graves and manufacture the concrete burial vaults.
Okay.
And I'm in a business where I'm down right now. I shouldn't be down, but with all the desolate and the situations in the South and how the bank situation, it's been hard for me to find finance.
We got to get out of this system.
Right, right. And I was fortunate to do these things for about 25 years, but I'm down now. What my main situation is,
well, brother, give yourself a pat on the back. We are not down. We are $1.8 trillion strong, and we coming to get our check.
That's what I'm trying
to tap
into.
That's what Dr. King said. We coming to get our check.
That's what I'm trying to tap into. Somebody need to throw me a lifeline and get me back on my feet.
Okay, we're going to send you Pastor Don's web link to the Buy Black Movement, and we're going to come together for that great purpose, brother.
Right, because my slogan was, we live black, we were born black, and when you die, let a black man bury you. So that's what I did. I used to open and close the graves. You know,
I'd rather have a brother, sister, a black brother or sister bury me.
That's right. I had that business, done it for 20-some years. But, you know, everything got a life cycle, and you got to be able to make it happen. And then when your equipment tells, you got to have enough money to get it. And then the banks don't want to loan you the money you need. They just break you down.
You tell that bank to kiss where the sun don't shine, because we coming to get our check.
All righty. All righty. Well, I'm seeking financial, somebody to, you know, I got collateral. I own the plant. I own things, so it ain't like I'm asking for a handout. I just need somebody to bag me up. Anybody got any kind of money?
Okay, what's your phone number?
My phone number is area code 205.
Yes.
742-8818. That's my cell phone.
Okay, 205-712-8218.
No, 742.
Oh, okay, let me repeat. 205-742-8218. And give me your first and last name, brother.
All right, wait a minute. You ain't got the number down yet. The last four is
8818.
Yeah, 8818. 8818.
Okay, let me repeat. 205-742-8818.
That's correct.
Okay, and your first and last name?
My name is Terrence Ruffin. And the name
David
of my
Ruffin.
Business? David Ruffin. You talking to one of his relatives right here, where he was born and raised at, but he left.
Okay,
Alabama,
I'm going to call you. I got a resource for you, brother.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Somebody to give me a break and get this thing back up and operating.
Okay, I got a resource.
I'll be looking out for your call.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Amen. We're going to open up 347-388. Barry, you still there?
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Oh, fine. Thank you so much. I know you're on the move, brother. You're always on the move. You got so many financial things happening. We're on with Catherine. If you had any questions for her.
No, I got the information. I'm driving from Virginia to New York. So I got the information.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to connecting with Pastor Don. And,
yes, sir.
Let them know what we're doing far as helping this black economy. You know, we're all about money. We help fund businesses. You probably get Terrence a call, too. I lend up to $500,000. Small businesses, so I could probably help as well. I'll reach out to you, Brother Terrence, as well, and at least you have options in which way you want to go.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you. Barry Braxton, the Braxton, famous Braxton brother. And Braxton Financial Corporation as well. And so we thank you so much for your input. 469-512, your mic is open. 569-512, your mic is open. You're on with Catherine.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Catherine. How you doing?
I am well. Praise the Lord.
Good to hear. Yeah, I'm kind of familiar with the site, Buy Black Movement. So I don't really have any questions, but I was very interested in the way that you delivered the message earlier about everything that was going on. And I just wanted to commend you on that because you delivered that lovely, very well.
Thank you very much, sir. I feel like it's my duty and my obligation to free our people.
Amen.
Yes, and
amen.
That is a very
Thank
important
you.
Thing.
We're gonna open up 347-622. Your mic is open. You're on with Catherine. Three four seven 622.
We can't hear you.
Can you hear? 347.
Yes, I really appreciate the caller who's talking the financial. But right now, I don't have any questions right now. I'm somehow in the middle of, you know. But I'm listening, and a very interesting program, Dr. Robinson.
Thank you, my
so
dear
much.
Sister.
Appreciate you.
Keep me in your prayers. This is
definitely.
A great work that has to be done.
Most definitely. Be strong, sister.
Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. So let's, people, let's keep this going. Let's, you know, next Friday night, everybody, we're going to have Catherine, by the grace of God, if she can come on next Friday night and every Friday night, because this is what we've been talking about here at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. We've been talking about clubbing. That's what we call it, the Billionaire Network. Network, getting together, doing work with other people, club, being united together, a club,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
And so we have the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. And I know I talk about a lot about social conditioning because I want you to understand what you're dealing with. So I tell you about the political, the social, the economical in America, because there's a movement in America to just disallow, disconnect the African-American community from everything. And if we're not aware of that, the Bible says, he who see, let him see. He who hear, let him hear. So when you see things and hear things, keep your mind open to what's going on. I've been doing this for 73 years, and I'm telling you, people, I'm from the segregated South Carolina. I know what it is to look at a sign say no colors. So I'm telling you, going back to Jim Crow. Watch that. Mm-hmm. Watch that. DeSantis in Florida. We're going back to Jim Crow. Watch that cat in Texas. We're going back to Jim Crow. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get us backwards, not forward. And so we have to unite together. And like Dr. Benjamin always says, we have to pray in season, out season, when you want to, when you don't want to, because God is the way. And I love what Brother Hezekiah Walker said. He said, it got to get better because God is in control. And so, my brother, my sister, educate yourself on economy. Economy is why we're here. If they don't hate you much because you're black. They hate you because they don't want you to have nothing. See where I'm coming from? It's about materialistic things. It's about owning things, controlling things, being ahead of somebody. You know, they don't have, it could be green, orange, or red. That's how they, that's the mentality. So we have to, we have to learn this economy thing. Well, Sister Catherine talked about learning and understanding the economy, how it works, where it comes from, where, how do we get a GDP? How do African Americans got $2.1 trillion and they keep saying we're the poorest, we're the lowest, we're the most homeless, we're the most down and out and downtrodden and misused? It's because of how the money is matriculated. It's how it's circulated. And that's what Sister Catherine is teaching us. And, you know, by the grace of God, everybody will continue to come on this radio program. We continue, not just tonight. We've got, we get hot on something. Then when we come down to the nitty gritty, really getting involved, people slow down. They get tired or whatever. But this ain't no time to get tired now. That's what I'm saying. But it's still right. I ain't no way tired. I got to keep on going. So my brother, my sister, wake up. There you go. There you go. Catherine, we got a couple more minutes left. I'm gonna let you give us a little enthusiasm.
Well, I appreciate you, brother, giving me the mic. I appreciate being here today to be able to bring this message that's the truth. I appreciate to bring this message of unity. I appreciate bringing in this message of love. And the only way that we can carry it out and not be a memory is to do it. So let's be doers and not just hearers. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And remember, my brothers, my sisters, every Friday night, 7 to 9, the Black Business Billionaire Network Club, we're going to be here. We're going to be talking. Yes, I do talk about spiritual things, and I do talk about business things, and I talk about society. I talk about, because it all intertwines. Everything comes together. The Bible says everything comes together for those who love the Lord and call by his purpose.
Yes.
So your condition, your situation, what you're going through, there's a purpose behind it. I got six children, and I tell my and nine grandchildren and six grandchildren and five great-grandchildren, but keep on going. I tell my children, everything has a purpose. It's causing how you use it. My daddy told me when I was 12 years old, he said, boy, let me tell you something. You're going to make mistakes in life, but that's not the whole end of it. If you don't learn nothing from it, that's what makes the problem. You're going to make a mistake. And I tell my children, you're going to make a mistake.
But that's not the end all or begin all. It's what did you learn from that mistake and not make that mistake again. The Bible says, confess thy sins and sin not again. Learn from the things, my brother, my sister, that you went through. You're not just an alcoholic. It's just an experience that you're going through. You're not just a drug addict. It's experience you're going through. You're not just homeless and out and down. It's a thing that you're going through because God sometimes wants to tell you something. He wants to put you through something to make you come out of something to make you something. So just keep and take those things in stride. Let's take all the conditions and things that we're going through right now. This, the Bible said, what's done in the dark will come to the light. The conditions of this country towards us as a people is coming to the light. After that Nashville, Tennessee, two young black brothers, legislators got kicked off, there was a tape going on, and they were talking afterwards in private. And that tape got leaked, and everything they felt about black folk, everything they felt about us, everything they felt about what we were saying. The one white man said, I ain't never been called a racist in my whole entire life until now. I've been called about 10, 15 times because these two little black, blankety blank, blankety blank. I'm just telling y'all, you know, these people are seriously ill. They got a mental condition and a problem. They can't come out. I'm not saying all white people. There's some good white people, but it just seems to me the ones that are controlling everything ain't good. And it seems that the ones that are good, they can't do but much. It's conditioning. Mm-hmm. It's their conditioning as well. Their psychological conditioning, our psychological conditioning. We're psychologists, psychiatrists, whoever said we're going through post-traumatic slave syndrome, and that's a great possibility. But we have to look into that and see that as well. My brother, my sister, keep praying, keep seeking, keep learning, keep educating yourself, pick up books and learn about economy, learn about the economics, learn about Black Wall Street, something we need to teach our children about Black Wall Street, how they got together, Black Wall Street was not a street, it was a whole, it was states, okay, it was cities, it was all over the place, and they had developed economy out of nothing. They came out of slavery, but they developed an economy, they developed business. And like Sister Catherine said, the reason they were so successful is because they were together and united. So people, here we are at the end of the show. I thank everybody. Thank you, Sister Catherine. God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Don. God bless you, Brother Braxton. Everybody. God just bless y'all, keep y'all and keep you going and keep you strong, keep you protected for things seen and unseen. And so we're gonna say keep praying for one another, keep loving one another, keep working together, and God bless everybody. See you next week, people.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for having me.
God bless you.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been. Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
'Cause God
is in
control, y'all.
In your heart,
hold.
Gotta get better.